Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the analyst conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 21st of February, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Dave Duncker. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. This is Dave Duncker. This is the ABN AMRO investor and analyst call on the full year results. The call will be hosted by Gerrit Zalm, Chairman, Kees van Dijkhuizen, CFO, and Wietse Rehorn, CRO. During the call, we will use a short analyst presentation, which was published earlier this morning on the website. And after the call, later on this afternoon, we will publish the full investor presentation on our website. I'll hand over to Gerrit Zalm.
Okay, thank you, Dis. A few words from my part as an introduction on the economy and the influence the economy has on ABN AMRO's results. If you look at the balance sheet of ABN AMRO, about 80% of our assets is Dutch. Also, 80% of our staff and our revenues are in the Netherlands. So that means that the Dutch economic developments have a tremendous influence on our results. And if you look at the Dutch economy, it did not behave too well in the past 2 years. The GDP shrunk in two consequent years. In 2012, decline was 1.2%. In 2013, the decline was 0.8%. And if you look at domestic spending, figures are even worse. A shrinking of the domestic spending of 1.6% in 2012 and even 2.6% last year. That also has led to troubles for small and medium-sized firms, especially who are dependent on the Dutch market. And that also has as a consequence, of course, that we have a lot of impairments on these companies. So impairments are at an extremely high level this year because of the orientation we have on the Dutch economy. Normally, the Dutch economy is not a bad economy to be concentrated on, but the past 2 years were quite bad also compared to other European countries. Looking ahead, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. We see that GDP is gradually recovering and is growing again. Same goes for world trade, same goes for PMI index. Domestic demand is also increasing recently, and also the consumer confidence in the housing sector seems to recover. So as a whole, we are a bit more optimistic about the future than we are about the past. For this year, we expect the economy to grow. The recent consensus figure of a growth rate of 0.5% will probably be beaten because of the results we received from our Central Bureau of Statistics of the last quarter of last year. And of course, if the economy recovers, then it will also have a positive influence on the figures of ABN AMRO. At the same time, there are two issues we already know which will play a role in 2014, which have nothing to do with the economy. The first is that we will get an extra levy of 200 million because of the operation to save SNS Real. And the second thing is that we are negotiating now a new pension scheme with the trade unions, and that may also have a one-off effect on our results for 2014. So that is my introduction. Now I transfer to Kees.
Thank you very much, Gerrit. Good afternoon. I continue with slide 7 and 8. 7 is the annual result. Making a few remarks on that. As already mentioned by Gerrit, the result is 1160 in the full year 2013 compared with 1153 reported 2012. If you exclude the special items, especially Greece and Medoff releases, the result is 752. and that is an ROE of around 5.5. This, of course, still clearly lower than our return on equity for 2017, our target of 9 to 12%. If we go to slide 8, the Q4 result, there was a loss in the fourth quarter of 47 million. This included this quarter in a bank tax of 106 million, and loan impairments were high. If we compare with 2012, the fourth quarter, we see, especially when we look at underlying loan impairments and excluding special items, there's an annex in the press release, Annex 3, which shows you all the special items. Then the loan impairments underlying are 544, so more or less the same as the fourth quarter of this year. If we go to operating income, slide 9, we saw positive developments in net interest income and net fee income, recurring income. Net interest income increased as a result of repricing of commercial loans, but also of new mortgage production at higher margins. And the fees and commission benefited especially from higher client activity in private banking and clearing. There was a serious decline in other non-interest income, disappointing. If we exclude, however, special items, other income declines from 540 to 423 in either 117 million. That is especially in the markets department. And for instance, the decision to stop there with in that business line with our equity derivatives arbitrage activities, that contributed to a decline of around 75 million. All in all, if we look at our reported operating income, more or less flat, and if we exclude the special items, it was an underlying plus 5%. Then if we continue with slide 10, operating expenses, they increased due to higher pension cost, around 350 million. That's related to the IAS 19 and low discount rates, and that was a increase between 2012 or 2013 of a 350 million. Otherwise, expenses would have declined by around 270 million. The cost-income ratio was 65% for the group. It improved especially for commercial banking and private banking, reflecting there the impact of ongoing cost savings and improved revenues. And the cost-income ratio of retail was flat at 52. Merchant banking cost-income ratio deteriorated. Our target is still 56 to 60% in 2017 with respect to the cost-income ratio. Loan impairments, slide 11. The reported, you see a decline in the reported loan impairments, but the underlying, and then underlying means excluding Met of Greece releases, we were too prudent in the past there, then we see an increase of 237 million. What we also see at the right side of the page slide is that if we compare H1 2012 with H1 2013 and H2 2012 with H2 2013, that it seems that there is some stabilizing there in the impairment development. There was a considerable increase first half 2013 to first half 2012 of 38, and only a modest one of 3% in the second half. Then, if we look at impairments at the business level, slide 12. They vary by client group, and especially increases in SME lending and consumer lending, mortgage book especially. If we look at the results by segment, we see that retail banking largely was able to offset the high loan impairments by high net interest income. Private banking improved its net profit on the back of higher operating profit and lower impairments in the diamond business. Commercial banking's performance was, especially impacted by impairments, but this business line has made significant improvements in its operating efficiency. And in the past 2 years, for instance, the cost-income ratio of commercial banking improved from 68% to 53%. Merchant banking, as already mentioned, several negative incidental special items, but also lower income at the markets division. The increase in net profit in group functions results from the two large impairment releases mentioned before. And if we go to the loan book and the savings, slide 13, we see a decline in the consumer loans, which is particularly related to the mortgage book, 3.5 billion. This is the result of higher redemptions than new mortgage production. We see more voluntary redemptions in the Netherlands as a result of some houses having negative equity. And the mortgage production last year was also lower as before. We do, however, see improvement there of the market. We saw more requests for mortgages in the last 4 months of around 70% if we compare it with the first 9 months of last year. So that market is clearly in improving. Loan portfolio of commercial banking declined around 2.5 billion, and especially lending to SMEs was lower as a result of lower requests. Clients' deposits increased by 6 billion year on year, but also quarter on quarter, and we grew especially in the Netherlands through MoneyU, but also in Germany and Belgium. If we go to slide 14, the capital position, I think we have a strong capital position that is also shown by our ability to pay dividends. We paid 150 already last year and now propose a final dividend of 200, final on 2013. Capital rates improved considerably, decline in the loan book and also decrease in RWAs. As of 2014, of course, we are in the Basel III regime. Under this regime, the core equity ratio is 13.9 and total capital 19.0. And if we compare it with last year, then it was 10.2 and 14.5. Fully loaded, 12.2. That is already inside our 11.5-12.5 bandwidth target rate, target range. And if we compare it with last year, we were at around 10%. Leverage ratio last year and last year 4.2, fully loaded it is around 3.5. So we feel comfortable with respect to the capital position. If we go to liquidity and funding, slide 15, we see clear further increase loan to deposit ratio 125-121. This is consistently declining ratio now. It was 135 at the end of 2010, so we are further improving this ratio. The LCR and NSFR are at 100 and 105, so we already there have the 2018 targets, actually regulatory targets, and we want to keep those ratios above 100 going forward. Strong liquidity buffer of 76 billion explained on this page by composition. Then if we look at the long funding, at slide 16, you see we already did new funding of around 4 billion, for instance, covered bonds at attractive spreads. We did some pre-funding, so we don't expect new funding this year to be the amount of the maturing funding. If we look at the composition, you see that we are particularly interested in unsecured with a long maturity. And we did the business in 2013 at a maturity wholesale funding of over 5 years. Which I would like now to hand over to you to make some remarks on the asset quality.
Thank you, Kees. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let me comment a little bit on asset quality. As mentioned, 2013 was marked by high underlying impairments on the one hand, but also large releases on the other hand, relating to the divested Greek exposures and the recovery on matter-related collateral. Subdued domestic spending has led to ongoing pressure on SME revenues in particular. This is clearly shown in the loan volume managed by our Financial Restructuring and Recovery Department and in the impairments recorded in business banking. Furthermore, we saw that loan volume that recovers from FRNR decreased. Deterioration of the portfolio is evident in nearly all industry sectors, but particularly in the retail, real estate, construction, transportation and horticulture sectors. Let me go to slide 18, some past due impaired and coverage ratio figures. It shows you it all went up for consumer but went down for commercial, more or less an effect of the sale of Greek exposures and Medov-related collateral. If you take the overall impaired ratio for consumer loans, it declined to 2.9 from 3%. A couple of words on the mortgage book, that's slide 19. The Dutch housing market was again slow. In 2013, house prices declined 6.4% and the number of houses sold was down roughly 6%. There are, however, positive signals. The housing market shows a pickup in the number of houses sold in the second half of last year, and also the increased consumer confidence and the clarity on tax treatment are clear positive signals. Voluntary mortgage repayments remained high in 2013, although these were somewhat lower than in 2012. The decrease was mainly visible in the last quarter. Despite these redemptions, the decline in house price has pushed up the average indexed loan-to-market value of residential mortgages up to 84% from 82% at year-end. Hence, we have increased our provision rates and therefore our coverage ratios. The part of the portfolio with a 100% or higher LTMV rose further to 24%, which is up from 22% at year-end. The part of the portfolio that has a full 100% interest-only mortgage was 24%, and 2% points of these have a loan-to-market value of 100% or higher. If we look to the mortgage past due amount, it increased by roughly 450 million. It's good to mention that over 80% of total past due amount is in the bucket 0 to 30 days, and less than 20% is in the bucket 30 to 90 days. The weak economic environment was responsible for a rise in the impaired mortgage exposures of around 235 million since year-end 2012, which brings our impairment ratio for our mortgage book at 1.1%. In the past five quarters, impairments taken on the mortgage book were elevated. However, they remained relatively flat, which is a positive sign. Slide 20. Which is on commercial real estate. In the course of 2013, the Dutch Central Bank conducted an in-depth review of our commercial real estate portfolio. In scope were our Dutch real estate assets, excluding social housing and our corporate-based real estate portfolio. The review focused on capitalization, provision levels, and collateralization. The review led to no surprises, as the regulator concluded that this portfolio was adequately capitalized and adequately provisioned for. Although the vacancy rates for offices remained high at around 15.7% and 7.3% for retail, the risk performance of our real estate portfolio improved last year versus 2012. Impairments came up to 190 million. Which is roughly a third of the impairment charges recorded in 2012. Few words on the outlook for the impairments. We expect that 2013 was the bottom of the cycle, and we see several positive signs and green shoots in, for instance, the Dutch GDP, housing sales and consumer confidence. However, even if the economy does turn the corner, impairments are expected to stay elevated in 2014 as consumer spending and unemployment are lagging factors in the economic recovery. That is the end of my words. I would like to hand over now to the operator for the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And the first question comes from the line of Carl Kluis from Rabobank. Please ask your question.
Cor Kluis, Rabobank. Good afternoon. Few questions. First of all, on the merchant bank, which you mentioned that you have put under review. Can you tell something more about what you're exactly doing and when we could expect an outcome or a decision in that respect? Second question is about the loan loss provisioning. You see, you mentioned that you're more optimistic about the economy for this year. Can you give an idea of what kind of loan losses we could expect? Is it around 100 basis points for 2014? To give a little bit of feeling on that respect, or like ING has said, for example, do you say if there's a positive GDP growth, then two quarters later the loan losses will start to decline, or can you highlight a little bit what your loan loss view for this year is? And my last question is about pension expenses. Seems you are also working on a DB to DC change. Can you give an idea of what kind of recurring pension expense we can work with going forward? We understand there is a one-time charge possible if you make that switch, but what will the absolute pension cost be going forward then versus what we had last year? That were my questions.
Maybe first on the review of our markets activities. It's not merchant banking as a whole, but especially markets. We will take decisions on that in the first half year. Second issue, loan loss provisions. We know that it's exceptionally high now, but we don't want to state any quantitative views on that on the future. As far as the switch in the pension system is concerned, probably it will not lead to substantial deviation on the pension premium compared to what's now in the books.
For 2013?
For 2013, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks.
And the next question comes from Lee Street from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. A couple of questions on asset quality, please. Firstly, I was just wondering if you could explain why the residential mortgage NPL ratio doesn't really seem to move up, given that obviously there's quite a high volume of past due loans that one would normally expect to become NPL. So just if you can give us a few details to explain, that would be helpful. Secondly, do you actually ever quantify the size of the SME loan portfolio and what the actual NPL ratio is on that portfolio? And thirdly, are you able to give any quantification of the, you know, in terms of a volume of loans that have actually benefited from a degree of a restructuring or forbearance for both mortgages and corporate loans? Obviously asking that in view of the asset quality review. Any color on those three points would be very much welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I will try to answer that. Your first question as to the NPL figure on mortgage book, why doesn't it really move up, is your point? Well, actually, there is a trend which you have seen year on year, that we're from 0.9 to 1.1. On the other hand, if you understand that, let's say, the majority of the past due in arrears is in the bucket of 0 to 30 days, in both years, actually, the experience in our portfolio is that almost 95% of all clients recover in that period. So that explains, to a certain extent, why the NPLs are not growing.
Okay, thank you.
To that extent, your second question, if I recall it well, was what is the NPL of the commercial segment that is around 6%.
And is that all SME, or is that, I guess that's my question, when I do speak about commercial, should I be thinking about that as all of that being SME lending, or how should I think about that?
This is what is mentioned in the in our press release in one of the exhibits, which is commercial loans. Let me show it here to you, which is the commercial loans, which is SME and corporate clients, and that is around 6% NPL.
Okay.
As to forbearance, we will disclose forbearance numbers when we issue our annual report, which is in March 7th.
Okay, thank you very much for those comments.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from David Block from Deutsche Bank. Please ask a question.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking the question. Just three quick questions from me. First one is looking at net interest margins ahead into 2014. You mentioned in your presentation that pricing was a bit better on asset pricing, particularly in the bank. I was just wondering about liability pricing. What are you seeing on this side? Are you seeing any kind of tailwinds or headwinds in this area, given where pricing has been moving in the Netherlands? That's the first question. Second question is on capital ratios. I know you have a stated target of 11.5% to 12.5% for Basel III fully loaded by 2017. Clearly, the regulatory environment over the last couple of years has been getting a little bit tougher across Europe, but you also have the ECB coming in as a supervisor later this year. So I guess, what kind of buffer do you expect your target of 11.5% to 12.5% to be over the minimum requirement that the regulator needs you to be at? And the third question is kind of connected with that. I mean, you had a payout ratio in dividends for this year of about 30%. Is there something that you're targeting long term, or where do you see that trending over time if we kind of look out to 2017, 2018 kind of levels? Thank you very much.
I would like to give the floor to, with respect to the liability pricing, to our treasurer.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Watson. I would like to give a small comment on the liability pricing side. Also, when you look at ING, for instance, they already started to lower, let's say, prices of deposits. We have seen a similar trend within ABN AMRO over the course of 2014, and I think, let's say, that we expect the margins on the savings side to continue to be flattish. So I think there's nothing too more to add to that. And from a net interest rate margin perspective, we also believe that the trend you have seen over the last couple of years, which is a very stable one, will continue over the course of 2014. So we do not expect any volatility there.
Thank you, Eric. And on the asset side, with respect to mortgages and also commercial loans, we actually expect a slowly increasing further margin as a result of the total portfolio, as a result of repricings of mortgages, which, for instance, from 10 years ago, will reprice on higher spreads as 10 years ago. Capital ratios: the regulator made known the exact regulatory requirements for us. So, for instance, local CFIs. So we have to wait for that. But we expect, with our bandwidth, especially at the high side, that there will be a clear buffer with respect to their request. But as said, we don't know yet. So we expect it actually somewhere this year. Payout ratio 30%, more or less, as you mentioned. I think we already mentioned that we will increase that to 40%, I think, in 2015, I think it was. And beyond that, we did not make anything known yet. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And the next question comes from Benoit Bétrarac from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please ask a question.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Benoit Bétrarac calling from Kepler Cheuvreux. A few questions on my side. The first one will be on loan growth. We have seen negative loan growth in 2013. I wanted to get your view on loan growth going forward, looking at 2014, 2015, especially on the commercial lending and obviously also on the mortgages where we have seen some deleveraging. So, what do you expect there going forward? Second question is on the private bank. I think you have seen some net outflows in 2013, about minus 1%, some larger outflows in the fourth quarter. I've got a run rate of minus 4% in the fourth quarter. So I wanted to check with you what is the strategy on assets under management growth there. Third question is on merchant bank. I understand that you want to put the market activities on the review, but could you comment a little bit more on the return on equity on the kind of remaining pieces, which are ECT, large cap, and clearing? I mean, could you just comment a little bit on the profitability on those businesses and what you see as well on 2014? And then just finally on on the liability margins. Do you think in general that a savings rate at 1.2% will be a flaw in the Netherlands for obvious reason, obviously? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Loan growth, I think, as you saw in our press release, we saw a decline of around 6 billion in mortgages and commercial loan in 2013. Of course, for this year, what we hope is that we will see a much smaller decline with respect to the mortgages, but that depends very much, I would say, on, of course, the market developments and our market share in related to that development. But clearly, we are open for business. We have, in the past, mentioned that we would like to stabilize this portfolio. We don't want to grow it, but we also don't want to decrease it. We're open for this kind of business. If there's opportunity, we will try to stabilize this portfolio going forward, mortgages. Same for SME. We have a high capital ratio, so we're open for business there as well. We expect more demand from SMEs and on investments and the likes this year. And also there, of course, we would like to diminish the decline we saw last year. Private banking.
Shall I take that question? Because on private banking, what we saw there is a outflow of assets under management in our Jersey operation, minus 2 billion. But we saw inflow in our Netherlands private banking operations of around 1 billion. That explains the decrease which you have been alluding at.
So is that fair to assume that you are getting out of the low margin business and you get higher margin business overall?
Well, always in private banking, it's important to have a good balance between the two of them. And what we aim for is a sustainable business model over there. So that's exactly where the strategy is focused on. What are the questions we have not yet answered?
Yeah, I think on the you asked again on the markets department, ROEs and the likes. I think
well, it's more the merchant, not really the market, but just merchant.
Sorry. Okay.
ECT and large corporate. I mean, yeah. I know the merchant is problematic, but the market is problematic, but the kind of the remaining businesses, I mean, or the franchises is performing there. That was the question.
Well, I think ECT business is doing well. It's, of course, much related to world trade. You saw a clear growth, I think, from around 13 to 16 billion. Also, profitable business. And our clearing activities are also performing well in the merchant banking environment. So we are not disclosing on that level ROEs and the likes. So that is what I can say on this type of business.
But we can assume that it's a 10% plus return on equity ex market, or is that different?
You can assume everything, but I'm afraid that we are not disclosing it. So. I think going forward, we are looking into disclosures on items, but I don't think on a level like this, I don't think also other banks disclose this kind of level. So I'm afraid I cannot answer your question with respect to the 10%. Margins, was that the 1.2? Is that the NIM you referred to?
Yeah, no, just the absolute level of interest rate on savings in the Netherlands, 1.2, which seems to stabilize around that. But obviously you have a wealth tax of 1.2 as well. So is the 1.2 kind of floor level, or you think you can reprice lower than that going forward?
That depends on the competition, I think. That's very much depending on competition. We can't be a price leader, by the way, also at the moment. So we will look at the market here.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from Justina Milauzokos from Argo Asset Management. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, Justina Milauzokos from Aegon Asset Management. I have a couple questions regarding your capital. If I look at slide 14, I see that subordinated layer of your total capital under Basel III has decreased to 5.1% from 5.8. Could you elaborate on that dynamic a little bit? The other one would be when do you expect to get more clarity on additional Tier 1 player in the Netherlands. And the last part would be what value do you see? What is the value of existing hybrid Tier 1 instrument in your total capital structure at the moment?
Thank you. Well, with respect to the 5.8 to 5.1, I think that's mainly related to the decreases there are mainly related to the amortization. Perhaps
it's
Eric, you can.
Regime.
Sorry,
it's a transition regime. Yes, a transition regime on the back of we need to amortize 20%.
Okay.
That's what has been done. So therefore, we now see a decrease of 0.7%. But also, you need to take into account that in this Tier 2 capital instruments, we have an additional 2 billion, somewhat more than 2 billion, of Tier 2s qualifying, not yet, because we don't have a reference to the bail-in in the terms and conditions. So you might consider it a hidden reserve, but at least it is a extra cushion. We expect when, let's say, there's further clarity that those 2 billion plus will also qualify.
Okay.
As far as Tier 1 instruments are concerned, we are looking to that in for the future.
Yeah.
And
no clarity yet.
If I could follow up, so do you have any thoughts when would you be getting more clarity from regulator regarding that?
I hope the course of this year.
Yeah. And the still outstanding Tier 1 instrument has an 80% value in the capital structure and will decrease to 70, and last year it was 100.
Okay, thanks a lot.
There are no further questions registered. Please continue. I can see one question has registered now. The next question comes from Paul Bevanen from APG Asset Management. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. I have one question. In the fourth quarter, there was a spike in loan impairments in private banking as well as in merchant banking. Could you comment on that? So on the fourth quarter developments there. Thank you.
Yeah, as to the spike you're referring to, what we indeed saw is in the merchant bank a spike caused in different areas of the merchant bank. It dealt with ECT, it dealt with real estate, and some corporate, some large corporate client items there. In the private bank, it was actually the same story, a couple of larger clients actually in residential real estate financings. So these are spikes which we have seen in the fourth quarter and as explained by myself right now.
Right, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the next question comes from Geoffrey Debelgas from BNP Paribas. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I had actually two questions, but you already answered the one on additional Tier 1. My second question was, I was wondering if you could comment on the Telegraph article saying that you hired Rothschild to advise on the privatization, and also if you can give any guidance about timing about the IPO. Thank you.
Thank you. We also read an article about Rothschild advising the Ministry of Finance, and of course that's not the same as ABN AMRO. So questions on that issue should be directed to the Ministry of Finance. As far as the IPO is concerned, we are still in the same procedure as earlier made public. That means that we are making preparations. And at the end of the year, the Minister of Finance will have to decide whether he will give a go or a no-go. If he will give a go, we can be listed in the first half year of 2015. Of course, the Minister may also decide that he will take another half year or another year before we are getting listed.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions registered.
Okay,
I can see one question just came through from Gaurav Prakash from Credit Suisse. Please ask a question.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry, I just had one question. In terms of, do you have a long-term guidance on what leverage ratio levels you wish to achieve and maintain?
We don't have that yet. We'll probably formulate that. We are now fully phased in at 3.5, so we are clearly above the minimum level of 3. The Minister of Finance in the Netherlands has a preference to promote a leverage ratio of 4%. We'll see how that will get an applause in Europe or not. And of course, we will always be above minimum levels for any indicator which is prescribed.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, can I thank all of you for your attendance and your questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.